This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. Invest Talk is heard on the radio in California, live streaming on investtalk.com at 4 to 5 Pacific time every Monday through Friday. And, of course, for all our podcast listeners, you can listen to it anytime you want. You download it, listen to it when at your convenience. So I do appreciate all listeners. Because you listen to this program, and maybe others like it, you get a pretty good dose of financial news. You follow the market. You're hoping for some clues, some insight. Maybe that will help you make better choices. Everybody does that. You know, anybody listening to this show probably is pretty diligent about that. And maybe give us all, give yourself a little head start on any new products or trends, because we're all looking for that thing. But just as important, you know, you're looking for that next great investment. But just as important, maybe you need to step back a little bit and focus on the overall portfolio that you have. Maybe you're standing a little too close. You're focusing a little too close on this stock or that stock or this ETF or that ETF, and you're not appreciating the overall risk and the balance of your portfolio. And you lose sight of your goal. Maybe your goal is for growth and you're buying big blue chip stocks that pay dividends. But that's not your goal. Your goal is growth. Not saying don't buy them. I'm saying you got to step back a little bit and find out, you know, does your portfolio match the risk that you want to take and match the goals you've set for yourself? What happened, for instance, if you set a goal of a price stability and you're buying high-risk stocks? That's not stability. You get it now because the market's been in this very long bull market. But at some point, what happens if you go have a 2008? How are you going to react if your portfolio is not prepared for that and you are not, because you're investing differently than your risk tolerance is? Then you're going to have a very difficult time. Emotionally, being prepared, you know, you're going to sell at the bottom like too many people out there do, because it's not, the portfolio is not acting like you thought it might, but you didn't set it up to act like you thought it might. You got carried away with the minutiae. You got to be careful. Everybody has to be careful. So decide what your goal is, and then make sure your portfolio reflects that goal and the risk tolerance that you have. That, you know, and I know that word risk tolerance, what does that mean? Well, you can go to our website. There's a risk an analyzer there that will tell you from 0 to 100 what your risk tolerance is. Very simple, few questions, and boom, gives you a score. You know, the closer to zero, the less risk you want to take. So if you're down 20, 30, 35, 40, you're pretty low tolerance for risk. If you're at 60, 70, 80, you're pretty high tolerance for risk. Then look at your portfolio. Does it match that? We can help you with that. Anyways, so what money matters on your mind today? And we do want to hear about your portfolio mix. I really do. Or you can call, listen line anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get your question into me. No matter what your question is, as long as it's financial, I want to help you. So let's get to our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is John. I'm calling from Walnut Creek. I have a question about offshore oil drillers. Notice that companies like Transocean, Ensco, Noble Energy, there's others, Seadrill, Gulf, they trade at very low PEs, and some Transocean's at like a 10-year low. Is it that we're just finding more gas and oil on land, and so that we're not needing to drill offshore? Is it also because of environmental issues that they're not allowing offshore oil drilling to occur off the coast, California, for example? Or is it related to just a gradual lowering of oil prices? I was just curious if now is a good time to buy them because some of these companies are so cheap, or should we hold off a little longer? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's going to be one of my talking points, commodities. But Transocean, it's an oil driller, and oil, of course, is one of the major commodities out there. But it probably has nothing to do with those things you suggested. I would think, and I'm going to tell you what I think, and it's all about supply and demand. We have had for some time a glut of oil. And you would think, look at the price of oil recently. I still think it's higher than it should be, and it's around $95. Think about all the turmoil in the Middle East and that those crazy ISIS people all that turmoil, and oil did not spike. Well, because we have plenty of it. You have China slowing down. You have the European Union falling into recession, or at least flat, probably going into recession. And you have us who are now exporting gasoline. We're exporting certain products. Okay? And we're finding more and more oil with our fracking. And it's just going to go up, not down. So you got a supply and demand issue. And the supply is high. So companies like Transocean, which, by the way, we own in some of our managed accounts, provides offshore contract drilling for oil and gas wells. Well, their sales are going down. 2 years ago, sales growth were 24% in the quarter of September 2012. Today, June quarter 2014, sales growth shrank 2%. I mean, it's as simple as that. Even though it's cheap, it's really inexpensive, pays a high dividend. All those things you said is true. It's cheap. Now, your best question you have is, should you start picking them up when they're cheap like this? And a part of me wants to say, yeah. Yeah, well, you want to buy things when no one else wants them. There's another part of me that says, we haven't had a decent correction for the overall market forever, and these types of companies will correct. And we are having, we had a big run-up in commodities for a number of years, and now for the last 2 years, we've had a run-down in commodities. The question you're asking is the run-down in commodities at its bottom. That's a much more difficult question to answer. Chart looks bad on Transocean, which symbol is RIG, by the way, RIG. But very good question. Might be, you need to put these kinds of things on your watch list because, you know, at a 7 and 8 PE, 9 PE, you want to look at them. But their numbers are not, fundamentals are kind of weakening. But how weak will they actually get? Very good question. $7,000 per household on average. Statistics published by the Federal Reserve indicate Americans have about $856 billion in outstanding credit card debt. Billion, $856 billion, or $7,000 per household. That's how much you owe. How do you dig yourself out of debt? That's one of our main talking points today. I think it's a very good talking point. You should never got it in the first place, but, of course, now you're in it. Now how do you get out of it? We'll talk about it. And I'm going to talk about commodities. Commodities are raising more red flags, especially for Europe. Okay, and think about what else will happen around the world if commodities are raising the red flag. Inflation data kind of ties in. European inflation data ties in with commodities at this point. But remember Draga in Jackson Hole in his speech, what is he going to do if inflation comes in, you know, much lower? And we got some inflation data, and it wasn't that much lower. So now what are they going to do? They have a meeting next week, the ECB, European Central Bank, you know, like our Federal Reserve Bank. They have a meeting. They're going to come out with something. They're going to say something. Are they going to do anything? Don't know. We'll talk about that. No, set it and forget it in retirement. You know how there's an article I was reading, and, you know, I've complained about them before, and I'm going to complain about them again, and I'll complain about them for a long time, and that's those target-dated funds. You know, those are set it and forget it, because the mutual fund family wants you to set it and forget it. That's their whole goal, and they're all over the retirement accounts, and they're not good. They're not going to turn out to be good. They're going to underperform forever. You watch. 10 years now, 15 years now, we're going to look back at those target date funds and say, boy, those haven't done very well. But what about other things concerning retirement? What about Social Security? Just, you know, are you sure it's all going to be there? And how much money do you actually get? we're going to talk about it because people, you know, you get that report from Social Security and it says you're going to, by the time you retire 5 years, 10 years from now, you're going to get this much money. That's not necessarily so if you decide to retire now and not contribute anymore until you start collecting. It won't be that number because they're taking assumptions. We got to talk about that. We have to make sure you're understanding this because it's, I think there's some misconceptions out there. Anyway, try our free personal risk analyzer. You know, it's right there on investtalk.com. It's really simple. It takes you a couple of minutes. Just a few questions. None of them are real personal. They ask questions that about your risk. How much risk do you want to take? Would you risk this much loss to gain this much gain in this period of time? Would you risk an 8% loss to gain a 20% in the next 6 months? So you could lose 8, but you could gain 20. Would you take that risk? Yes or no? That's the kind of questions they ask. It's really simple, but it really works. You can do it for free, a free personal risk analysis on InvestTalk.com. This is InvestTalk on a Friday. We're here to help you. Bring your money topic to us, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk continues now with a reminder about the resources available to InvestTalk insiders. How about a list of commodity ETFs that allow investors to gain exposure to various areas of the commodity industry? Become an insider. Sign up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see what the market did today? It was up. But don't get too excited. It was just barely up. The Dow was up 18 points. The Nasdaq had a better day, up 22 points, and the S&P was up 6. And most of that came in the latter part of the day, I mean, at the very end of the day. We have a three-day weekend, so it's kind of surprising that it is up because, you know, all the turmoil going on. And a lot of investors like to be out of the market over a three-day weekend. So most of the times, the day or two before the three-day weekends, the market is soft. But not this time, even though you can't say that's very strong either. Can't. Credit card debt. So on average, you have $7,000 per household. And how are you going to get out of that? Well, one way is to try to keep it cheap. Okay, there are deals now that you can transfer credit card debt to other credit card companies, you know, banks or whatever, and they'll charge you 0% interest for 6 months or 8 months or a certain period of time. So that might be a good start to try to reduce it. But the key to this thing is stop using it. And it's not stop using credit cards. It's stop using credit card debt. Stop using it as a way of life. And if you have no discipline, you need to cut up all credit cards that will let you, you know, roll over your debt from month to month to month. Only use like an American Express card, requiring you to pay it off every month if you have no discipline. If you have discipline and you're really trying to work your way out of this, then you try to cheapen the debt that you have now by trying to find a 0% interest rate somewhere. Don't use your credit cards unless you have to. Don't buy shirts or dinners or anything else. You know, if you have no discipline or very little discipline, stop using a credit card. Now, it's hard to say that for everybody because if you have discipline, I love those cash back credit cards. I get cash back on mine. I pay mine off every month. And I still get cash back. I kind of like that. You know, I get sometimes, you know, if I buy something that's worthwhile, it's a pretty good check. Maybe that's something you should think about. Got to control it. Control it. This is Mess Talk. Can I sell a house in a reverse mortgage? Can I sell a house in a reverse mortgage? We'll have an answer for you coming up. Give me a call. Your number, our number, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And this is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next InvestTalk, as baby boomers begin to retire, effects on workplace participation and consumer spending levels will be profound, factoring in the boomer bubble. That's our talking point for Monday, September 1st, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. And be sure to try our new free risk analysis tool. It can tell you a lot, and it's right there on our website. Just look for the blue box on the homepage for free personal risk analysis on investtalk.com. InvestTalk continues on this Friday, factoring in the boomer bubble. That's our talking point for the next InvestTalk, and we hope you'll be here. Got a question today? Why not talk to Steve about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
The question is, can you sell a house in a reverse mortgage? You have a reverse mortgage on your house. Can you sell it? And the answer is, of course you can sell it. But you have to go back to the premise of why you had the reverse mortgage in the first place. And I will say that you've made a mistake in getting the first reverse mortgage if you planned on selling the house someday. Remember, a reverse mortgage is designed for you to get money, equity, out of the house without ever have to pay anything, okay, out of your pocket. Zero, nada, nothing. So when you're old and you want to live in that house until you die, there you go. It's a perfect solution. I mind you, it's a last resort, not a first resort. But if you're going to sell the house, then you kind of defeated the purpose. Now, there are going to be reasons why you need to sell it. I understand that. But remember, a reverse mortgage is expensive. It's expensive to take. Remember, because even though they did make the prices less, so it's better that way. And the reason why it's expensive, they're not going to get any money until you move from the house and are forced to sell it, or you pass away in the house. Okay, so they're not going to get a dime. That could be years. So they like to get a guy a half a point, 2 points, or a point and a half, whatever it is up front, and they're going to charge you pretty hefty on the closing costs at the upfront part. And of course, their interest rates would probably be a little bit higher because they're going to charge you interest on all the money. So yeah, you can sell a house in reverse mortgage, but you don't do a reverse mortgage unless you're pretty sure you want to stay in that house and you plan on staying in that house till the end of your days. We're here for you whenever you want. Beginner or experienced questions are always welcome. All the investors' level of investing knowledge, whatever questions you ask, it's okay. There's a million people out there with the same questions. 888-99-CHART. And if you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, you still can leave a question. Same number, like Anthony did in Whittier.
Yeah, my wife and I are interested in buying Boeing, the airplane stock. I listen to the radio, just like to know what you think about that stock, and I'll be looking forward to hearing about you on the radio talk about it. Anyway, that's Boeing. I think it's Boeing Air Corporation. Thank you very much.
Boeing, B-A is the symbol. And if you don't know who Boeing is, you live in a cave somewhere. It manufactures commercial, military aircraft, missiles, information communication system. It's a $91 billion company, and they sold a lot of planes last month. And that's why durable goods reports shot up 20-something percent when they expected to be up only 12. But on the durable goods report, don't get excited. If you go to core durable goods, it shrank 0.5%. Anyway, Boeing, they're going to make $8.22 this year. That's a 41% increase from last year. That's a big increase. Next year, it's going to be 851, which is only about 4%. Sales are increasing, but in the mid-single digits. Sales. Earnings are increasing 41% this year, 4%. Pays a 2.3% dividend. It's a little expensive. The stock is expensive. It's trading at a 21 PE. Now, if it's $8.51, what would be a fair PE for Boeing? And I would tell you probably a market PE, about 15. Okay, so then what is $8.51 worth? Multiply it times 15. See how simple that is? I mean, this is not rocket science to give you a kind of a flavor of what the stock is worth. And if you do that, well, that's 120-something, $130-something dollars. $120, $130. What's the stock selling for? $126.80. So it's probably at a fair value right now. Fair value. So at this point, you're buying it for the dividend 2.3%. And don't expect it to have a huge capital appreciation because it's not going to happen. They're not going to happen. Boeing is the kind of stock that you want to buy when a recession hits. What did it go down to in recession times? Well, in 2009, the low, remember the low of the market was March of 2009. It was at $29 a share. No one wanted to buy it at $29 a share. Because it, so it went from $56 that year to as a high that year. But the year before, the high was 88 in 2008. Went all the way down from 88 to 29. Year before that, 2007, it was $107 a share. So from 2007 to 2009, it went from 107 to 29. You see, you want to buy this, and now here it is back up at 126. It was 142 last year. See, you want to buy it. The ideal time to buy these kinds of stocks, these big blue chip stocks that are pretty stable, is when everybody hates the stock market, not when everybody loves the stock market. And if you have patience, you'll get that opportunity. But do you have the fortitude to buy when everybody else is selling? Most people do not. I have a new meeting day for Northern California. I am scheduling one-hour individual retirement account meetings and reviews in San Jose on September 17th. If you'd like to schedule an hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment, and I will definitely work out the details. Our number, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give me a call.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. How can you gauge your appetite for risk? Try our free risk analysis tool. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
Okay, European stocks trimmed their gains after inflation data was released. Because remember, Draga and Jackson Hole said that he's ready to do QE3 if inflation if they fall in or have the danger of falling to deflation. Well, the problem with that is their inflation for August was up 0.3%, and that was less than July, which was up 0.4%. So there's a deflationary pulse going on, but nothing dramatic. So that's why the stocks fell. Why would they fall? Because everybody's thinking, you know, and has been that, oh, Draga, ECB president, European Central Bank president, is going to do a QE. And he even said so on the speech this week that, yeah, he's prepared to do that if he needs to do that. But the evidence in the economy, even though they are flat to shrinking into a recession, the evidence on inflation is not there for them to do that. Remember, they already did something. A month or so ago, they lowered interest rates to negative territory. So they've been pushing on that, and that helped push the stock market in Europe up, even though their economies are stinking. It still pushed it up. And so now they're thinking, well, if we get QE, maybe that'll make it even, make it even better, because all that flooding the cash, look what it did in the United States stock market. So they're thinking about starting QE, and we're getting close to being finished with QE. We're now moving into September, and remember, they were going to be done by October. I think we're at $25 billion a month they're spending, so they're still spending the money, they meaning the Fed, every month. They're still pushing liquidity in the market, but much less than it was. It was 85, now it's 25. They're going to cut it down to in September by $10 billion, and the hint was they'll cut it down to zero in October. Now we'll be out of QE. Now what would be the next move? Don't think they can't re-up QE. Re-ramp it up. They could. If the Federal Reserve sees our economy falling or something dramatic happens, they could start it back up. Nothing to stop them. But the thinking is they're not going to do it. They'll do something else if they need to. And the thinking is, if our economy is showing signs of improvement, which it has, even though it's not very consistent, it's sputtering, but improvement, then are you going to raise rates in 2015? And that's what the market is thinking about. That's what's on everybody's mind. Raising rates means less liquidity. We're already cutting liquidity. Now we would cut it more. Remember, the stock market looks forward. And the same thing they're doing in Europe, they're looking forward. But they don't have inflation at this point. And just so you know, the EU-wide unemployment rate is 11.5%. In Italy, it is 12.6%. By the way, that's the highest unemployment rate in Italy in 40 years. So they're not doing so hot there in Europe. And then you add the sanctions and the Russian issue, and it's going to be difficult for them to not fall into a deeper recession, in my personal opinion. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can subscribe for free on iTunes to the podcast. If you have a question for me, you can always ask 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Justin. It's Henning from Ukraine. Really enjoying your program, listening on podcast. I've got a question regarding Whole Foods, ticker symbol WHM. I was wondering whether you would recommend Whole Foods as a long-term buy, possibly in a pension fund, and at what price you think it would be worth getting into Whole Foods. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. All the very best.
Okay, Whole Foods market is WFM, and as in Frank. WF as in Frank, M as in Mary, WFM. Whole Foods operates 362 organic supermarkets, 347 in 40 U.S. states, 8 in Canada, 7 in the U.K., Whole Foods. Have you ever been in one? They're kind of neat stores. I like them. They're fun, high-end kind of grocery stores, healthy food kind of thing. And they're very popular. They're going to make $1.53 this year after $1.47 last year per share. Next year it's $1.71 per share. They're growing about 10%. The stock has been crushed. Okay, well, wait a minute. In a year, they've gone down from, what, $60 down to $39? And now it's trading sideways. It has been for some time. Why has it been crushed? Why? They're still doing very well. Sales growth has been 10%, pretty steady every quarter, quarter after quarter after quarter. And they're making money. Earnings went up 4%, and then this year, then 12% next year. It's pretty good. Well, this is why they've been crushed. The P.E. is 26. It was 44 for a grocery store. Okay, no matter what you say, it doesn't deserve that kind of premium. What should a grocery store sell for? Even a growing one like this, what should it sell for? No more than the market P.E., which is 15. So if you have take 15 and it's times $1.71 next year's earnings, you're looking at what? A $27, $28, $29 stock, and it's at 39 still. Now, the reason why people are giving it a premium, because they like the concept. The concept is great. But it's not a concept that can't be copied. And so sales growth has ratcheted down from a couple of years ago when it was in the mid to high teens. Now it's around 10%. You can't keep that growth up, your stock is going to get hit. And that's what happened. Nothing wrong with Whole Foods. They're still a great company. Nothing wrong with it. Good numbers. Pays a 1.2% dividend. But it's just pricey. And that's why it's fallen over the last year. It's still pricey, in my opinion. That doesn't mean it won't go up, because it is doing a sideways movement for quite some time, and that's kind of supportive that its stock is probably not going to go down below about $36, $37, and it's at $39 now. So that's a good bottom. So if you bought it, just have a tight out. If it drops below that, get out. Very interesting stock. Time for a new feature. We have a new feature, everybody. We're going to call it Invest Talk Personal. It's about a day-to-day money decision that makes a difference in your life. So, and this one is, can you sell a reverse mortgage, which we talked about. Now, according to the president of National Reverse Mortgage Lenders Association, a homeowner can get a reverse mortgage and then put the home up for sale. But why do it? As I said before, it defeats the purpose of having a reverse mortgage. But you can do it. Remember, reverse mortgages are expensive to get. You don't want to do that. Okay? But a reverse mortgage is a good last resort if you're property rich and cash poor, and you're older and you want to stay in your home. It's a decision that could work for you. Now, do you have a question for Invest Talk Personal? You can ask it on our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. You can send me a note through contact Steve on investtalk.com, or you can do it through Twitter. Send your message to @InvestTalk. That's InvestTalk with two T's, InvestTalk.
Steve has a concise info sheet on managing a bond portfolio. Fixed income offers a lot of value points that equities do not. That's just one of the recorded webinars that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Sign up for free on investtalk.com.
Let's talk to Bill in Petaluma. How are you doing, Bill?
Good, and happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Happy long weekend.
Yes, although I'm retired, so it's another day.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I appreciate your program very much. I wanted to get your insight into a company called AM Surgery. I guess it's American Surgery Incorporation.
Okay. You want to buy it?
And I ran across it a few nights ago and started looking at it.
Okay.
And it seems like it's a growth stock, but I also noticed that a couple of analyst companies are saying sell. So I'm wondering what you might know or see about it.
The most likely reason they're saying that is because it's now kind of pricey. It's AmSurg Corporation, AMSG, operates 242 ambulatory surgery centers with a physician practice groups in 34 states and District of Columbia. And they've been growing nicely. I mean, a year ago, sales growth was 17%, 20%, 17% a quarter. But the most recent quarter sales growth, 2% and 5%. And there's where they're probably getting a little nervous. At the same time, the stock has been going up. Okay?
Yeah.
So now it's at a new 52-week high, $53.79. It's going to make $3.09 next year. That's pretty darn good from this year, up 25%. So what they're saying probably, this would be my suspicion, is that its growth rate is starting to slow, kind of the same story of wholesale foods. And they're thinking it's done so well, this is that in recent times. It went from 47 to 53 in about a month and a half. And I could tell you that the recommendations to sell are probably based on valuations, not based on, the fundamentals are changing or, the sales have slowed in the recent quarters. But, I'd have to see if that was something that's just recent and pick up again or not. But it's a good.
They made an acquisition.
It might be.
They recently.
They acquired Sheridan Healthcare, Inc. for $2.3 billion. And that's about the same size as they are.
Yes, that's what I was mentioning. They recently made this acquisition, so maybe that is in the mix too.
Yeah, that might be why it pushed the stock up, because that was announced in the middle of July, and that's when the stock took off. So they're doubling their size, and the analysts liked it, but now maybe that price is already built in now. Go ahead, Bill.
Perhaps wait for a pullback.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And it looks like, there's a lot of support. There's a lot of support and like around $50, and then more support in right around $46 or so. If you get down there, that would be a much better price for you.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's AmSurg Corporation, AMSG, and we're going to go talk to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu? Manu, you there? Manu? Menu. Sounds like he's pumping gas or something. Menu. Okay. Menu wanted to talk about Sandstorm Gold Limited, Canadian company engaged in the acquisition of gold streams of properties in Brazil, Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. It's a small company, $660 billion. Not growing its sales, making about 16 cents next year in earnings after making 8 cents this year, and lost money last year, 84 cents. It's a pretty high speculative play. S-A-N-D is the symbol. Very high speculative. If you wanted to buy a gold company, even though it's pulled down nicely from 750 down to 6, it looks like it's finding support now, I would look for a stronger company. Let's go to Michael in Venetia. Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Yes. I'm doing good. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I like your show very much.
Thank you.
I called you a couple weeks ago about the Gilead.
Yes.
Now the stock has been extended and stretched very high.
Yeah.
I want to know your opinions about from now on what I'm going to do.
Do you own it right now, Michael?
I do, yeah.
I had an email a couple days ago, a guy, just about the same question. He says, you know, I recommended the stock. He told me a couple, 3 months ago that I liked it when someone called in, and now here it is, run up very strongly from, you know, $85 to $107 in the last 2 months. What should I do? And I'll tell you what I told him, Michael. You follow it up with a trailing stop. You don't just sell it because it could just keep going because it's not overpriced yet. It's not. It's going to make $9.35 next year after making $8 this year per share. $9.35 on a $107 stock. That means it's 11 PE. So it's not, even after this run-up, it's not like, oh, this is really expensive. No, not necessarily. So, and the sales growth are still in the double digits. I mean, you can't complain. So the growth is still there. It's still not overpriced. It's just had a very nice run. So at this point, I would follow it up with a stop loss so that if it drops maybe 8%, 9% from the high, I'd get out or cut it in half.
I see.
So that way, if it keeps going up, Michael, you're still in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and until it kind of rolls over on you, right now it's parabolic. It looks like it's going up. It had some hesitation this week, so it might slow down. And in fact, Michael, you probably want it to slow down. So you like to see a stock crawl up slowly rather than shoot up, because they tend to give that back, some of those super fast rises. They tend to give that back. Thanks for the call, Michael. Gilead, yeah. G-I-L-D is a symbol, everybody. Gilead Sciences, kind of like it. Now's the time to get through. If you have a question for me today on Monday's Invest Talk, our talking point is factoring in the boomer bubble. What does that mean? Well, you're going to have to tune in Monday and find out. Call us now as we move into the final segment of the day, 888-99-CHARGE.
What are small cap stocks? What makes them act differently than large cap stocks? What's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is InvestTalk, a ready source of investing answers. You just have to ask.
Talk to Steve about any money matter as we move into the final segment of the day. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Henry at San Jose. How you doing, Henry?
Pretty good. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding stock symbol CPHD.
Yes.
And this stock went down quite a bit, and I'm thinking to pick up some of the shares, and I wonder if it's a good time to do it yet.
I'm going to say no. I think it went down because it deserved to go down. This is CFED. I'm not sure. CEPHEID is the name of the company. CPHD. Develops automated molecular analyst systems for the clinical diagnostic industry and bio threat markets. And the reason why I say it deserves it, because in 2013, it made 26 cents a share. This year, it's going to lose 52 cents a share. And next year, it's going to lose 18 cents a share. Stock is selling for $40 a share, and it's losing money. Well, even if it made 26 cents a share like it did in 2013, what is it worth? The growth rate of sales is about 20%. Okay, but that's a $2.8 billion company doing about $116 million a quarter. So from a price-to-sales ratio, it's way overpriced. From a price-to-book ratio, it's about 10. There is no PE for the next 2 years because there's no E, no earnings. And the stock is selling for $40. It was selling for $55, fell down to $42, went back up to $50, fell down to $37, is now $40. That's lower highs and lower lows. Henry, I think it's going to go down again. I think the stock's about worth maybe $15-$20. And it's selling for $40. So I'd be very, very careful at this stage. Very, very careful. The only positive thing you have about it is its sales are increasing. But the sales are still pretty small compared to how valuable the company is. It's just overvalued. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate the call. That's CPHD, CFED, I'm not sure how I say it. 888-99-CHART. There is no set it and forget it in retirement, everybody. There's a list of questions and answers on this article. And some of the questions and answers I think we should talk about. One, and we've had this question before, but it never hurts to refresh our memory. One of the questions was, a guy was 38 years old, and he wanted to know if he should roll his money into a Roth instead of a regular IRA. He's 38 years old. And, you know, the problem with answering that question is you got to do some guessing. So as soon as you roll that money over, as soon as you move it from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA, you now have to pay income tax on all the money that you're rolling over. And therefore, it's added to your adjusted gross income for that particular year. So what's your income tax rate? Then you have to figure out, well, what's your tax rate going to be in retirement? If you think it's going to be really high in retirement, then, yeah, you might want to roll it over if you're 38 years old because you have lots of years to grow the money. Remember, in a Roth, the money grows and no taxes ever are owed on that again. So if you're in a high tax bracket in your retirement and you get to take money out of your Roth, but there's no taxes owed on it, so you don't have to pay tax on it. Now, what if you're in a low tax bracket in retirement? Well, maybe you should leave it in the regular IRA. There's no quick, clear, concise answer. There is none. It's a judgment call. And I'll tell you what there's kind of ballparking. I like Roth IRAs when you're younger. I would probably suggest, why don't you keep the regular IRA, but don't contribute it to anymore and open up a Roth IRA. Put all your money in there. That way we don't have to pay taxes on it. Just my kind of, that's how I think about these things. So there's different things. Also, one thing I wanted to mention. You know how you get those Social Security, you go and you can find out how much money you're going to get in Social Security? And let's say you're 60 years old today and you're going to retire at 66. And you look at it and say, oh, I'm going to get $2,200 a month. Yay! If you decide to retire early, you're not going to get $2,200. If you retire at 62 or 60 or next year, 3 years, you're not going to get it. because they're basing it on the same amount of contributions you're making into the Social Security system until the day you retire. So if you're retiring early, don't think you're going to get that exact amount of money when that the Social Security says you're going to get. Think about that. It's time to close for the day. You've heard about our new InvestTalk Risk Analyzer. You can use it for free at investtalk.com. It's kind of fun. It's really interesting. Then you can send me your portfolio, and I can compare the risk of your portfolio with your risk score. Give you a score of both your portfolio and your personal risk score. Kind of fun. Anyways, go take that little 3-4 question test. It's really simple at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.